Good morning. Happy birthday, Jesus. And happy birthday, Silent Night. 200-year-old song. This is the birthday of Silent Night. What do you think of that? Isn't that cool? The most popular, most widely sung, and the most recorded song in Christmas history, Silent Night, goes back. And Constance, thank you for that, because Between the Lines, that's what I'll call that. I'm not sure if there's a name for it, but Between the Lines, there is so much story. In fact, that's what makes this song somewhat unpredictable, because it just goes on into story. As Jesus was unpredictable, his story continued as he played it out. We're looking at some things that we could see and some things that were happening that only God could see behind the scenes. Believe it or not, this song, as it states, Silent Night, you heard the story, Joseph Moore, was put together just in worship, staring at a painting, that had just the manger scene going on, and just that reverence, that moment where he just felt overwhelmed with joy for what God had done for us. And then in 1816, he sits down and he begins to pen these lyrics, just in a poem. That's all it is. And as you see this, and as he sees this, it's got to be more than a poem. He wants to put this in a Christmas Eve service. When you put services together, you typically aren't adding things just an hour or two before the service starts. It can happen in a smaller church. For those of you who have been in ministry, you know, you don't always add something right here at the last minute. And they sit down to play the song at an organ, and church mice had eaten away at the organ leather for the air pump that went up and down, the foot pedal, if you will. There were holes in the leather, and as a result, the organ could not be used, which was the only instrument they used for services. So he runs through the streets, as the story said, meets with his friend, Franz Gruber. And he says, hey, the organ is out of order. There are holes in this. I can't repair this. We've got to sing this song. You got any plans? What can we do? And a guitar is used. Just moments before the service, things change. A candlelit service with guitars. Isn't that beautiful? That begins something that ends up later on being documented in what's called the Christmas Truce of 1914. German and British troops celebrated Christmas together during a temporary cessation of World War I hostilities. The Christmas Truce. We have some pictures here. Silent Night was sung by both sides. Both came out of the trenches. What would be German enemies, Christmas mingling, the Western Front. Hundreds of years since this miracle of 1818, when this went down. And we see this going on, a rare moment. Over 15 million lives were taken in World War I. But on this day, on this Christmas Eve day of 1914, it ended for a day. Could people really play soccer on the battlefield together? And Silent Night was the song of choice. For the past 36 years, this song has been sung 733 times. I don't even need to tell you the name of musicians. You could come up with some of your favorite albums, even pop artists today that have chosen to put Silent Night into their albums. I love this song. Rarely have I looked at all six verses. A woman found the transcripts of this not too long ago. It was around 2005, when people were just wondering, where did this song come from? Joseph Moore was not discovered. Franz Gruber wasn't even a name yet. No one had heard. They thought it's just a traditional carol, somewhere from Austria, possibly Salzburg. And as a result, it just became popular. And a traditional carol, just sung in homes and in churches, picked up. A woman had heard of this and had gone to what was a museum, a Christmas museum in Salzburg. She was viewing different items of folklore and things that were put there in regards to Silent Night and some of the oldest manuscripts. And she looked at this one particular manuscript of Silent Night and said, that looks really familiar. She went back home and had discovered what was hanging on her wall in the hallway, which had been handed down through generations upon generations, was the original manuscript of Silent Night, written in ink by Joseph Moore in 1816. She ran it down to the museum going, here's the original. This is the original. This is the story. So it wasn't that long ago that the actual story had come out and come to the surface on what this song was all about. Why did it last the test of time? Why, 200 years later, is it still the most amazing and popular and most widely recorded Christmas song of all time? Do I really need to tell you? Holy night. All is calm. All is bright. The story of Christ cannot be hidden. A real Christmas carol doesn't ever end. Amen? Silent Night is 200 years old because Christ Jesus is still alive. The message of Christmas is Christ. And this particular poem, which turned into a song, got it right the first time. As you look back and forth around the Gospels, picking up one treasure and then finding another, like little kids on a Christmas morning, there's an event in Jesus' life that is recorded in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. If you have sermon notes with you, those scriptures are there. We're going to put them up on front, but certainly you want to keep a copy of these. Daniel was given a number of amazing glimpses into the future. And this week, I had time to dive into one that just jumped at me like the largest gift you could have under a tree. It was beautiful. This is one of those most amazing of them all type things. Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14. I'm looking at it through a really cool translation. The Message Remix says this: I saw a human form, son of man, arriving in a whirl of clouds. He came to the old one and was presented to him. He was given power to rule, all the glory of royalty. Everyone, race, color, creed, had to serve him. His rule would be forever, never ending. His kingly rule would never be replaced. The coronation of Jesus. Isn't this a beautiful passage of Scripture? Daniel here is seeing something that oftentimes we can't see or even forget. Jesus as king. Perhaps the most joyful, certainly the most triumphant moment in history, second only to the resurrection, his crowning. It ensures the triumph of a kingdom of laughter, beauty, life, and how long, my friends? Forever. But it was a long road to that throne. No king has ever taken such a humble route. His first step is a staggering descent. The Son of God becomes Son of Man. Let's look at another passage of Scripture in Philippians this morning. Okay? And if you have your own Bible, feel free to use those. If you're using it on your app, once again, the translation from the Message here, beautiful. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privilege of deity, and he took the status of a slave, becoming human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he had lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, the crucifixion. This short drama that was played here this morning, just reviewing the lines and the bars of the beautiful Christmas carol, Silent Night, and then explaining what that meant between the lines. I think it would be wise to say, it's not all a beautiful little manger scene in the spiritual realm when Christ comes to earth. Let me explain. Do you think Satan and everyone that worked for him, every demon you can imagine, would just allow something like this to happen and sit back and watch the shepherds and watch the angels and watch the wise men and just allow something like this to happen, my friends? Answer the question. Would he just sit back and just watch it as if on the 50-yard line at an incredible concert or great game? I believe it was like the first 10 minutes of Saving Private Ryan. I believe all hell broke loose. I believe what we couldn't see, the principalities and powers and rulers of this dark world, were going at it 1,000% to stop this from happening. The spiritual warfare during this moment, even though Luke 2 paints a whole other picture for us to see physically on the planet, things were happening in the spiritual world beyond what we could comprehend. God's plan was brutal. It was beautiful. But it was opposed. Let's take a look at this incredible event in Scripture. Grab your notes once again. Isaiah 9:6. And he goes for it right here. He says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." The government on his shoulders. You ever felt like things were on your shoulders? That's a question. Ever felt like things were on your shoulders? Ever felt like a little bit too much was on your shoulders? Does this Christmas come with more pressure than you can handle? Does it feel as if God has lost control of things, possibly? Financial crisis. Maybe you're in between jobs. And maybe your world is upside down right now. Some of you struggling with a business. And numbers are not hitting the projections you predicted. And so there's anxiety. And wonder if God is even with you in your business or if he's in control at all. What's on your shoulders? We carry the weight of anxiety on our shoulders, try to fix our problems in our world. Despite our best efforts, you can feel like God is completely out of control sometimes. I mean, I would just love to have a living nativity every time Christmas rolls around. But I am reminded that God's mission was opposed. And as a result, that warfare still exists. And when you receive Christ and all that he brings, it is opposed even in your own life. And there is anxiety. There are things that hit the fan. Look at the events and circumstances just internationally. The Middle East. We look at countries that are at war. North Korea. Or focus on poverty. Or just starvation in general. There are horrible things happening in this world. We ask the question, is God present? Is he here? Is he aware? Can it just be silent night? With all the stuff going on in my personal life, can I just call a Christmas truce? My friends, God, have you lost control? Seems to run over and over and over again. Not only in Avalon, but worldwide. And my friends, God is never out of control. I want you to know this morning that God is in control even when we feel totally out of control. God has never lost control. But for some, it may feel like an upside down Christmas. I get it. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." A Savior born to you, for you. How does that feel hearing that? How does that feel? Yeah. "Unto us a gift was born." Incredible. God had the plan. I mentioned last week that in the Christmas season, sometimes we get some things upside down. We tend to put ourselves at the center of Christmas experience and our situations. We make this time of the year often about our situation, about us, all about our family traditions and our kids and our presents. And I'm not saying there's something necessarily wrong with those things. I'm just saying that it's a bit upside down because for most of us, our Christmas with Jesus or Christmas experience with Him could or possibly could not be a part of it. And it wouldn't actually affect one way or the other. It comes and goes. This happens. Cruise ship today. Maybe no cruise ship. We get a new grocery store. Maybe it has to wait a little while. We open a new event, or the spa opened up today, or what? You know, life goes on. It's just another day in Avalon. This would make it a little better, but it may or may not. But the truth is that God has written a story in His Scriptures, and it shows us how God works in this world. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. While He was still speaking, okay, John the Baptist is here, and a beautiful event is happening to Jesus. Much older now, He's there for His baptism. And in the water, while He was still speaking, John, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is My Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." Listen to Him. Matthew begins to tell us even more detail of God's plan. It's a beautiful plan, but we didn't see it coming. Let's look at His baptism more closely and see how God approves of the things that are set in motion. He has a plan. We don't always understand His plans. We don't always get His plans. If I wanted to, here's an example. If I literally wanted to borrow a wrench, and here I am at Avalon Community Church, and I need to borrow a wrench. And let's just say you lived at Bird Park, and I needed to borrow your wrench, and you have to go home to get it. So Natalie, you're at Bird Park, and you have the wrench that I need. Okay? So she goes home, and she doesn't just bring the wrench. I need the wrench, but instead, she brings her entire house. And she brings 150 different people to help take the house apart. And another 200 people to put it in this front end loader that has this big flatbed. And the house is with a crane added to the flatbed. And it's brought down the canyon. And once we get to Five Corners, we need at least five security that would be out there. Sheriffs that are holding back traffic from just your average folks that are renting golf carts, keeping everyone back, because here comes the flatbed with her house on it. And of course, the toolbox, and inside there is the wrench. And it shows up here at the church. Everything, the full entourage. But all I needed was the wrench, right? That's all I needed. But with it came the house, the box, all the tools, all the employees, all the workers. God didn't just send a plan that was simple for our sin. He didn't just send something to allow us to see, okay, we've done something wrong, you'll fix it, good, sounds good. He brought all the kingdom, all that comes with it. Jesus has offered more than just salvation. He's offered the kingdom. He's offered Himself. And He says, as My child, you are an heir to the throne. And I have all of this for you, and all of it comes with it. You need to repair more than just that little section right there and the wrench, all that it will hold. I have way more for you. You see, we couldn't understand that. Even today, we just think Christmas, Luke 2, Christmas, Luke 2. There are four Gospels, and they're loaded. And every single one of them paint little pictures and little things that you can see that are beautiful. And I love the fact that God speaks at a baptism. And He says, just in case you all were wondering, I'm really pleased. I'm really pleased. Well done, son. Well done. No one saw that coming. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. And that's such a packed verse. one and only Son. He could have sent just some other sacrificial lamb, but it was His Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have life forever. You see, what's coming down the road isn't just a toolbox or a wrench. It's everything. It's everything you need. I'm going to take good care of you, and it's way more than you expected. It's eternal. This verse says a lot, but we realize, and we may not realize, that between the lines or behind the scenes, Christmas should be celebrated like nothing else on earth. Like nothing else on earth. So let's take a look at the next verse. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't change. And you think this light show outside, by the way, John and crew, this is an amazing light show outside. If you haven't had a chance to walk across the street and look at the corner here, I don't know. Maybe it was great last year, but this one just seems like every year it's up a notch. It's just fun for the guys, and it's super fun for the community. And I know that when people go around the corner here, everybody's smiling and trying to get out of the way because they're staring. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Heavenly lights. What a great analogy. He wants you to know that it's good, that it's perfect. And the hell that you live in and the things that are going on behind the scenes and the Saving Private Ryan stuff that's just got this spiritual warfare happening, God is in control. God is handling these things. God hasn't lost it. As a matter of fact, for every one negative, there's 50 positive going on. And I'm just going to tell you right now, as he says, from the heavenly lights, from the very top, every gift and every good gift is from above. He's the giver of all good things, and He doesn't change like shifting shadows. Those things are predictable. Those things we do know. Those things will last 200 years like the song Silent Night has last. You can't stop those verses. You can't change those six verses. What was penned down was just basically Scripture. Jesus is born. Jesus is born. It's beautiful. It's holy. It's for you. Unto you. For you. I am pleased in my Son. Get in there, kiddo. Get in the game. Well done. John 6, 38 through 40. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those He has given me, but raise them up in the last day. Do you understand what this is saying? God wills that none should perish. Verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. He sets it up, and He sets it up beautifully. Christmas is more than manger scenes. It's way more than a living nativity. It is a living story of salvation. It's a complete package and rescue. It is a part of Saving Private Ryan, just like it's a part of a Christmas truce. It can bring hope to the hopeless. And yeah, it'll even pay your bills, because it's way more than just the soul-crushing paycheck. It's way more. It's eternal. And it's self and soul satisfying. Way more than anything you'll ever find in a book or a pill. It's eternal. Let's look at our summary. Unto us, a gift was born. Incredible. It's complete. Nothing was lacking. Number two, Christmas should be celebrated like nothing else on earth. What's left? What else is there? What else is there? I mean, we can celebrate anything you want, but not a complete package of restoration of the heart. Have you lost real Christmas in your home? I think that's a self-evaluated question. You sit back and you must take your time on that one. Where do you live? At peace or at war? Where are you currently in your mind? With anxiousness or content where you're at? knowing that the Savior has got this. He's in control. If you have lost it, please get it back. Don't miss this Christmas. Don't miss what this scripture is saying. Don't turn around and see that here on the last day, I'm not a part of this. God says, I will raise them up on the last day. You want to be in that crowd. You want to be a part of that. That's your Father's will, that everyone looks to the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life. Most importantly of all, has Christ lost you? I hope not. That's your question to answer. But I put that before you because Christ has come. Christ has come. He set this up with victory. He defeated the enemy. But boy, it was opposed. But He defeated the enemy. It cost Him everything. Has He lost you? Because you've been lost in all that the world has brought into Christmas. Stay focused. These few verses here are precious to me. And to you. Just look at them very carefully. You'll see what God has done is not out of control. It's a complete package. It's as crazy as just borrowing a wrench and receiving an entire estate that comes down the street. It doesn't just fix you. It provides for you. Let's pray. Father, this morning, on a beautiful Sunday, a day of rest, for those that had the choice inside their heart, inside their mind, You brought them here today. The giver of all good things. The one who inside I see, who has designed this work of humanity from start to finish. Before the day of creation, there was a plan. As much as my stuff gets in the way of seeing that plan, between the lines, behind the scenes, things are happening. As Silent Night drew an entire truce between two major enemies for an entire day, Father, all heaven and earth were at war spiritually. As Silent Night broke through that war and said, I bring hope and peace to a generation that needs to hear it. Thank You for the men that put this song together, but more importantly, what it's about. Giving us the foundation of hope, sleep and heavenly peace. The Father of lights bringing down these good gifts that none should perish. I want to be in that crew. God, I want these in this congregation to be in that crew. We turn around and say thank You today. We don't want to miss Christmas. And if we've lost it in our homes, guys, let's get it back. We got to have it. And if you've been lost, He sent out a lifeline, and it's Himself. It's a complete package. It's not just to pay your rent. It's not just going to take care of your business. It's not going to take care of your lost son or child. It's not going to heal your marriage. It's going to do that and more. It's the complete package. It's more than salvation. It's the kingdom. And Jesus says, I desire you. I came for you. I want you. Unto you a son is given. For you. Father, the greatest gift, more than thank you, we receive it today. And may someone in this crowd that is exploring these things right now, these questions, these summary, in their heart, may they be truthful with their God, with their Father. Say, I need you. And I'm not leaving you. And I'm bringing you into my holiday more than ever. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.